ring that bell and take it home as Jimmy J calls it outside of the ring. Welcome to Take It Home TV.
Oh yeah, Survivor Series was so damn glorious. Yes it was, it is yours truly, Jimmy J. I am here at the Take It Home TV studios, and we are less than 24 hours after the Survivor Series event has went down. The festivities are all over, and tonight we get ready for the fallout of the Raw brand on Monday Night Raw tonight. And listen, there's a ton to talk about. From top to bottom, Survivor Series had to be one of the best, if not the best, events so far of 2018 for the World Wrestling Entertainment, or the World Wrestling Federation, whatever you want to call it. But first and foremost, guys, hopefully you are enjoying the day. Hopefully your day is going smooth. Mine is, I'm off from work today. I'm feeling under the weather. I've been battling, feuding with bacteria and viruses for the past month. And quite frankly, I'm just getting sick of it. 1 week I'm sick. The next week I'm fine. This week again I'm sick. And it just, this is life. It throws anything and everything at you, and all these different obstacles that you have to avoid and get around and just plow right through sometimes. But nevertheless, I'm here to deliver 30 minutes, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, of audio gold for you guys, of platinum, of Take It Home TV. And now, normally, what I like to do, obviously, you guys see me on the YouTube, on my Take It Home TV channel on YouTube, and I have the video going, and I edit it, and I talk about various topics of the week in pro wrestling. But because most of you guys may not know this, but I did make an announcement, as you seen last night, after the Survivor Series, my Survivor Series recap on my IGTV, and I also posted it on the YouTube channel. My equipment, once again, my computer's on the fritz. Okay, so the camera I have is top quality, and that's not the issue, but the issue is actually getting it to the computer and for the computer to actually deliver it, and my computer is not even functioning, it's not even turning on. I don't know if I'm going to give it to the Geek Squad, or if I'm just going to buy a whole nother damn computer at this moment, but, as you know, living in New York City, and living in any big city nowadays, in the world probably, when you're working a regular 9-to-5, it is not easy to come up with the funds that you need. So, I got to grind. I got to get some things together. And we're going to be back rolling, hopefully, before the end of this year with top quality. Better than before. I want to have a better editing program for you guys. And I want to deliver more content, less time. That is the goal, ultimately. That is my 2019 goal for Take It Home TV. But right now, okay, because of the fact that I can't deliver the videos, goods, and you can't look at this ruggedly handsome individual, at least you guys can listen to these melodious tones piping through your speakerphone. And maybe they're not so melodious right now because of the fact that I am, again, once again, sick. I'm under the weather. But nevertheless, none of that even matters. I know I went on a tangent right now, and I was rambling about things that really don't even matter. But we're going to get into things that do matter right now, and that is the Survivor Series. Normally, I would wrap up the week, the entire week in pro wrestling. But this week, and any big event that WWE has, such as, the main four big events. The Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Those are the four big events of the year. King of the Ring used to be in there back in the day, but obviously no more. It doesn't even exist anymore. But anyway, those are the four big ones. So whenever it is one of those weekends, those big pay-per-view, the big fight feel weekends, I'm going to dedicate the Take It Home TV episode to that event. And that's exactly what I'm doing today. Not going to be talking about nothing else but the Survivor Series and Monday Night Raw possibilities tonight. So, guys, just to give you a heads up, if you're not interested in hearing anything more about the Survivor Series, you can turn me off right now. If you do want to hear about the Survivor Series and my thoughts and opinions and what happened and what transpired, then you can continue to play this Take It Home TV episode. But anyway, we're going to get right into it right now. Now, as a whole, and I've said this last night on the wrap-up, I thought this was a decent event. I gave it a 7 out of 10, but then I really thought about it. I slept on it. I got up this morning, and I thought about it, and I said, you know what? I think it was better than a 7 out of 10. I could probably give this event for the year for WWE as this, you know, if you look at it at just this product, at just the WWE, this has to be one of the best events, if not one of the better events, I should say, of the year for them. Excuse me, I got a text here. I guess as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say, I owe everybody a beer. But anyway, with that being said, Survivor Series last night was better than what I thought it was right after the show. I had some time to think about it. And it's because, you know, there's a multitude of reasons, obviously. Number one, because of the fact that we don't get to see Raw and SmackDown competitors go at each other. Rarely. Maybe in the Rumble and obviously here at Survivor Series. But not that many times a year. So it was a treat to see matches like Shinsuke Nakamura taking on Seth Rollins. It was a treat to see Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. But you know what it is? That another thing that just really caught me, and I really was thinking about it too. The fact that this was, I felt, it wasn't really that thought out. Like, it wasn't planned thoroughly as WWE likes to do. They like to be very precise and very on point, and very structured, very organized with their events. But because of all the last minute transitions, and I'm talking about obviously, you know, Becky Lynch out of that match against Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair substituting for her, and then Daniel Bryan winning the title because AJ Styles is not going to be in the match, and then, you know, just the fact that Sasha Banks and Bayley got thrown into the women's match. All these last-minute transitions really made for just an interesting event. And because of the fact that we didn't even know what was going to happen. Like, normally you would get a normal build to the event. And you would, like, have a good assumption. Like, okay, this one is going to win. This one's going to lose. This might happen. But WWE did a good job at, and I don't know if they were trying to do this or if it just happened like this, a good job at not making it easy, so to speak, to predict what is going to happen. It wasn't that predictable last night. I was a little shocked at a few things. And one of those things, first and foremost, I got to say, was Shinsuke Nakamura and Seth Rollins. I was shocked that Rollins won cleanly. And again, I wanted Rollins to win. I love Rollins. I love his work in the ring overall. I shouldn't say love like that, but you know what I mean, brother. Either way, I was a little shocked that he won cleanly against Nakamura. I really thought that Ambrose was going to interfere in this match, build it onto their rivalry, and I guess many of us thought the same thing, but that never happened. It was a straight one-on-one match, and Rollins wins clean. What does that mean for Nakamura? You know, many say, you know, you can't determine an athlete by just a win or a loss. You know, everybody can win, everybody can lose someday. But you know what? Nakamura has been getting much more losses than wins as of late. So, you know, with that being said, where does he stand right now? Where is Nakamura going to go from? He is the U.S. champion. I don't know, man. I just can't figure out why WWE doesn't give this guy a solid push and make him dominate that division. Make him, get some W's. Now, obviously, this was not a non-title match. This was just the Raw champion, IC champion, equivalent to the U.S. champion on SmackDown going at it. But, you know, Nakamura needs definitely some more W's in that section right there. He needs some tallies in that W section. But that was one thing that shocked me. Another thing that shocked me was the fact that Charlotte Flair, and this is the topic of the day right now. This has been the topic of last night. This has been a conversation that has been brewing all over social media, that has been brewing all over the wrestling world right now, and is talked about because we knew she was thrown into this match because of a last-minute injury You know, Becky Lynch, that, you know, she suffered it from Nia Jax, obviously. And Nia, the most hated person probably in the wrestling world right now. Definitely at the Staples Center last night. But we didn't know what to expect. We knew it was going to be a decent match. At least a decent match. Because the caliber, you know, the athleticism, and just the overall athletes that Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair are, we knew that this match was going to be decent. But I did not know it was going to be anything on the level that it was last night. Okay, and it kind of started out a little awkward. Both women trying to feel each other's style out. And then you seen it. And then you seen it started getting physical. And you seen Charlotte Flair just literally taking Ronda Rousey's ass, no pun intended, and just handed it to her. She was lacing her. She was taking her to the woodshop. That was it. Was schooling Ronda Rousey last night. Charlotte Flair was. Because you know what she was saying with that beatdown that she delivered to Ronda? She was saying indirectly, "This is my house. This is my territory. And you're coming in from the MMA world thinking that you run shit over here." No, it's not how it works. I'm the queen over here, bitch. That's exactly what she was saying with the beating that she gave her. But then you started seeing the frustration build in Charlotte, because Ronda wasn't giving up, because Ronda is very resilient and Ronda can take a beating. And she did this, and she did just that. And then she was dishing it out. Blood everywhere. It was a very brutal match. Very real, okay? And Charlotte had enough, and she just snapped. Disqualifying herself, taking a kendo stick, and just literally, you could see the welts and marks on Ronda Rousey's body. The blistering up. It was unbelievable. And, you know, Charlotte Flair, no remorse at all. And to tell you the truth, the fans at the Staples Center last night, remorseless. They had no remorse for Ronda Rousey. Because as Charlotte was pummeling her, even in the ring, the fans, they were having a Becky chant. They were saying, "Thank you, Charlotte." They were having a Becky chant. Charlotte, the referees came and she was taking out the referee. She put that chair on the Ronda Rousey on her neck and just stop. Almost, literally, just breaking her neck. Damn near it. We had to get some help out there. Charlotte Flair, vicious assault and Rousey in the ring, getting up. And you would think, you know, maybe the fans would just care and give her a standing ovation for that beating that she just received by the queen. But no. No, remorseless. They were booing her. There was Becky chants. There was "Thank you, Charlotte." And what does that go to say? That goes to say that the WWE fans are tired of this little fucking lollygagging bullshit that we see on Monday. And you know, I could say on SmackDown as well, on Tuesdays. They're sick of the PG era, most fans. We need a little excitement. And I'm not talking about Slim Jim. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about, we need to spice it up a little bit. We need to get a little more physical. We need to see a little more blood. Okay? We need to see a little more action on the WWE product. And that's what that's saying to me. Because heels are the good guys in most of our eyes. This is how it was in the Attitude. Look, Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was a heel. He was the most popular athlete on the roster. God damn, he's still selling merch. He's Stone Cold. It's one of my favorite athletes of all time. The anti-establishment persona. I'm not going to listen to what you got to tell me. Steve Austin. My dog even agrees. You can hear it. This is live sound effects here at Take It Home TV. And, you know, with that being said, I just took all that from this match. And this match just solidified the Survivor Series spot as the top event of 2018 for the WWE and maybe for any other wrestling organization. it was because of Charlotte and Rousey. And predominantly, Charlotte. Charlotte Flair. She has it. She has the genetics. The daughter of the nature boy. Woo! Doing her thing in the ring. Styling and profiling. And delivering as only the queen can. And, you know, I look at other matches on the card, and I was happy with the fact that it was only 7 matches. The pre-show had a pretty decent tag team match. It definitely belonged in the pre-show. No offense to any one of those athletes. I thought it was perfect for the pre-show. SmackDown did get a win, the Usos, getting the only SmackDown win, but somehow it was not even seen that way because they only calculated from the main, you know, literally just the Survivor Series event. They didn't even count the pre-show. So with that being said, Raw got the clean sweep. I really like the spot Chad Gable did in that match, that suplex off of the top rope to, I believe, Jimmy Uso, maybe Jay, I don't know, one or the other, to the outside onto a slew of superstars. And it was just phenomenal. The timing on that and just how he just orchestrated that whole maneuver, that was insane. But I really enjoyed that. That's when I started watching it, about 6:30. You know, the structure was perfect. They opened up with the women's match. The echoing of boos for Nia Jax was unreal at the Staples Center last night. It was just unreal. I mean, the fans were really not even in, I felt, were not really involved in that women's match until Nia got in the ring, or Nia got involved. Then you seen the boos and the yas for whoever was beating her down. And ultimately, Nia, the sole survivor, because she throws Sasha Banks to the wolf, so to speak, to Asuka. Asuka taking care of Sasha Banks. And ultimately comes down to Asuka and Nia Jax in the ring. Nia getting the W, the sole survivor. Her and Bliss standing tall in the ring. And just the boos just continue. The Staples Center, man. I felt like if there were any more boos, if it was any louder, man, we would. I thought we were about to see debris thrown into the ring. I thought it was just like a recap of the NWO forming back in 96 at Bash at the Beach. Because that's how just passionate these fans are about. They despise Nia Jax for what she did to Becky. And, you know, Nia's owning it. And she should. Because that's real heat. She got some real heat from what she did. And, yeah, granted it was accidental, but she is definitely owning that whole gimmick with that, you know, one-hitter quitter, so to speak. And, you know, with that being said, that women's match, I thought it was pretty decent to open the show. You know, we moved on. Like I said, I already talked about Seth and Nakamura. There was a decent tag team match between the AOP taking on the Bar. I thought it could have been just a little more exciting than what it was because, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro, they put on a performance every single time they get in the ring. They have such chemistry together that at first, you know, I hated the tag team that they were. I hated the fact that WWE threw these guys together, but they have no other choice but to just really develop their own styles, their own characters, and their own tag team, and start getting the tag team, you know, together, start building that chemistry with each other. And they did that. And they did that, okay, over the years, over the months. And I'm really happy that, you know, they are where they are right now. And the AOP, the most dominant tag team on the Raw roster, going against what I believe is the most dominant tag team on the SmackDown roster. AOP getting the W, which they should. I was happy about that, but I really thought that the match could have been just a little more physical. Well, I don't know about physical, but it's a little more exciting than what it was, I guess. You know, maybe that's just me critiquing every little thing. But anyway, we're moving right along here. The Cruiserweight, the 205 Live match between Mustafa Ali and Buddy Murphy really had me on the edge of my seat. It was a high-flying hell of a match. Both guys put on one hell of a performance. And, you know, they never cease to amaze me, honestly, the Cruiserweights. It reminds me every time I watch these Cruiserweights in action nowadays on WWE for 205 Live, it reminds me of the mid-90s. Rey Mysterio, Juventud Guerrera, Psicosis, okay? The Ultimo Dragon. And they really, you know, engage me with, and it's different. You know, it's something different. It's, this is where those high-flying spots should take place. It shouldn't be in every single match. High spot at the high spot at the high spot should only be exclusively, really, for the majority of the matches, for just literally for 205 Live, for these guys, for the cruiserweights, for the high flyers. High flyers also such as Rey Mysterio, whatever. Doesn't matter. But this division right here, this whole division, they just personify athleticism and, you know, versatility, really. And I was really happy with this match and also the outcome. You know, Buddy Murphy retains. I like that as well. We can't have a new champion every single event. This guy, he should hold on to the belt for quite some time. But what I did not like was what happened outside of the ring, okay, during this match. And it was Enzo Amore. And I got to say this, and I know Enzo, he's probably not listening, but what do you get out of doing what you did yesterday? I mean, honestly, you attempted to hijack the WWE event, the Survivor Series. Okay, and what were you going to accomplish? You knew damn well that they were going to escort you out the way they did. You know the WWE, they don't play that shit, honestly. The security is tight, okay? Especially with all the events going on in the world nowadays. So you pulling a stunt like that, I mean, obviously, dude, listen, if you're listening to this, okay, I gotta say this and get this off my chest. I know you're bitter about what happened. I know you're upset about what happened. We all get upset about certain jobs sometimes when we get fired or the, you know, unfortunate circumstances happen at the jobs. You know, things happen. This is life. But you gotta go about it the right way, man. You gotta grow up. You gotta mature, and you gotta do the right thing. Doing what you did last night to try to draw more attention to yourself, to try to stay relevant. What I believe is not the way to go about things. If you want to stay relevant and you want to draw attention, do some positive things for the communities, for the environment, for the world, for whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. Get out there and do some positive, you know, things, and stop trying to, you know, hijack an event, a WWE event. Yeah, it's cool. You were there. Obviously, people were talking about it, you know. But honestly, you made yourself look like an ass. Because people are not cheering. Most people aren't cheering. Oh, there's Enzo. Most people are looking at you, rolling their eyes like, are you serious? You need to get it together. I don't know what you're going through inside. But I do know this. I do know that it won't last forever. Eventually, you're going to get over it. Eventually, you know, you're going to you're gonna make peace with the situation. And I gotta say, like, it's not easy, bro. It's not. Okay? We all go through it. Okay? All of us, at one point in our life, we go through an event that we find very hard to cope with. But we have no other choice to move on. Okay? Whether it's a relationship breakup, whether it's a loss of a job, a loss of a family member, or a death or something, it doesn't matter. There's no other choice in this. Okay, you have to get over it one way or another, and you have to find your outlet, whatever that may be. Okay, we know, and I know you're frustrated, but this is not the way to go about it. This isn't. That's what I got to say about that. And that's what I really think about that whole thing. I think it was ridiculous, it was ill-timed, it was immature, and that's exactly what it was. Okay, but moving right along, because I'm not going to give this topic too much time here. There were other matches on the card, obviously, that I haven't even talked about yet. In the men's Survivor Series match, and I knew it, and I knew it from the beginning, the Raw brand was going to be dominant in this match, because you just look at the superstars they had on their side. The thing is, like, how do you go against Strowman and McIntyre right now? The guys, the athletes, the superstars of 2019, what I believe. Who are you going to put against them? Look what SmackDown had. And this is no offense, all due respect. Shane McMahon. The Miz. Okay, yeah, it's Samoa Joe. But honestly, Jeff Hardy. Come on. Rey Mysterio, huh? Yeah, okay, Mysterio, yeah. But you look at the size of the Raw team. Strowman, McIntyre, Lashley. Come on, man. You throw Ziggler in the mix with the athleticism, Finn Balor with the athleticism as well. and the resilience and the agility. I mean, there's no way. There's no way that the SmackDown team was going to beat Raw. Okay? And we seen it last night. And right after the match, there was three survivors. It was McIntyre, Lashley, and Strowman. Right after the match, there goes Corbin taking a cheap shot to Strowman. And tonight on Raw, we should see that culminate right there, that rivalry right now between Strowman and Corbin. I can't wait to see Strowman just totally decimate Baron Corbin. Because I hate Corbin. I hate him. I hate him with a passion. He's a sleazeball. I just want to see him get stomped out. And that's what I love about pro wrestling. Because you hate the guy so bad. And you know he's going to get the boots. He's going to get it. He's going to get his ass whooped and handed to him eventually. And it's going to happen tonight on Raw, I believe, by Strowman. But anyway, that match was pretty damn decent. Shane McMahon was like a Mexican jumping beat all around. That flying elbow from the top rope through the announce table to Strowman. I really seen SmackDown laying the offense, okay, and just laying their shit in and fucking dominating a good portion of that match. But to no avail, the Raw team was just too dominant. And I knew it was going to be like that. And I knew this was going to be the outcome. So, like I called it, Raw comes out on top right there, as they did the whole night, for that matter. You know, we talked about already Charlotte, Flair, and Rousey in the beginning. Now let's go on to the main event. Brock Lesnar, Daniel Bryan. Okay, I did not expect much for this match. Quite frankly, in the beginning, I said, why the hell did they put this match, you know, on the main event? But as it unfolded, you know, in the beginning, it was a squash match. It was all Lesnar. Just totally dominating Daniel Bryan. But then, towards the end of the match, Daniel Bryan starts mounting some offense. And this turns into a legitimate match. Not a 5 to 10 minute Lesnar beatdown. Okay? Suplex City, F5, Suplex City. No. Yeah, he took him there. He took him to Suplex City. Okay? Yeah. F5. Boom. Bomb drop. That's it. Done. But Daniel Bryan stuck it out. Excuse me. And he just muddled through it. Mounted some offense. And we seen this hole on the side of Bryan yesterday. This guy, his eyes, very demonic. Very sadistic. Daniel Bryan looked after the match. He was smiling. He was smiling. Again, as you hear my dog, she agrees. He was smiling after the beatdown that Lesnar gave him. Lesnar almost tapped out to Daniel Bryan last night, which was a which would have shocked the world. Would have shocked me, definitely 100%. I knew ultimately Lesnar was going to win this match. And I was sick after the first few minutes of the match. I'm like, oh, here we go again. Lesnar just going to dominate, and that's it. Daniel Bryan's just going to take an ass whipping for not showing up in Saudi Arabia. But you know what, to tell you the truth, obviously, as we all know, that wasn't the case. Daniel Bryan, okay, this new side of Bryan, the heel territory he has entered, he's just on another plateau right now, Daniel Bryan. And I'm interested to see where it goes from here on SmackDown Live with Daniel Bryan. I believe him and AJ, at this point, are going to have a feud. Hopefully, that's what they continue, because I would love to see and both of these superstars have a rivalry building up and ultimately culminating at WrestleMania. But I gotta say, man, Daniel Bryan's look last night, the look in his eyes, that sadistic gaze that he gave Lesnar, smiling, it spoke volumes. It spoke to me with no words. Pictures say 1,000 words. They have 1,000 words. They mean 1,000 words. Whatever you want to say. Okay, whatever. It doesn't matter. But with that being said, Daniel Bryan is right now in a whole other stratosphere. He's on a whole other planet. And I want to see where the WWE goes from here with Daniel Bryan in this new character. Okay, overall, the Survivor Series last night was pretty damn good, like I said. And you know, where does WWE go from here now? Survivor Series is over. Okay, it's towards the end of the year. This is that time where it's kind of like we got to start planning for the Rumble, Mania. Usually around Survivor Series is the build to Mania. Okay, that's where you really start to see it. And I don't know where they're going to go, because I really didn't get that impression right now. I really couldn't see after last night any rivalries that will be, you know, ultimately ending up at WrestleMania. I couldn't. But I definitely seen a couple superstars that are going to be heavily involved in WrestleMania next year. One, Charlotte Flair. Two, Daniel Bryan. They, and literally right after each other, one match and then the next match, and then that was it. You've seen this go down. They took it to a whole other level yesterday, and I can't wait to see exactly what's going to happen. Tonight on Raw, we will find out. It will be, obviously, the Raw brands fall out of the Survivor Series. We definitely are going to see Strowman and Corbin in some way, shape, or form. Ronda Rousey may be there. Maybe she'll speak on what happened last night. I have no idea. Your Raw team was dominant, so Stephanie McMahon is obviously happy. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen on Raw. And I hope that I can make it through the 3 hours. I really do. Really hope I can get through 3 hours of Raw tonight, because it's been a struggle as of late. And I promise you guys later on, I'm going to have the Raw review on my IGTV, so you guys stay tuned for that. But this Take It Home TV episode, you know, you look back at all the other Survivor Series. And to me, you know, every event is unique in its own way. But the Survivor Series to me has always symbolized, other than survival and who can survive, whatever that means, it was always the beginning of feuds for Mania, in my eyes. Okay, that was it. Usually they say, oh no, the Rumble, that's where the road to WrestleMania begins. For me, it's usually Survivor Series. Or it usually ends at Survivor Series and then begins the next night on Raw or SmackDown, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. Either way, with that being said, I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see what direction the WWE goes from here. And Raw tonight should be solid. We're going to find out, you know, what exactly went down. Nia Jax, you know she's going to be in attendance. You know she's going to get probably booed out of the arena again. But I'm more interested to see SmackDown on Tuesday, tomorrow. Because I want to know what possessed Charlotte to do that. I want to know what Daniel Bryan's going to do next. I want to know what's going to happen with SmackDown General Manager, okay, and Commissioner Shane and Paige. I want to know what's going to happen, because they took an ass-whooping at Survivor Series. So I'm more interested in SmackDown, as usual, than Raw. But we will find out what happens, and I will have the full results for you. Other than that, ladies, gents, and everybody in between, this has been Taking Home TV, and I wrapped up the Survivor Series for you guys. My thoughts and opinions on each and every single match. Okay, so stay tuned. There's going to be more to come. And once again, I want to apologize to the fans out there, to my subscribers and everybody else that views my work. You know, they say you're supposed to be ready. You know, you gotta be ready. You gotta go 150% whenever you want to do something. And I'm apologizing because I can't. And it's not because of me. It's because of, you know, my equipment. I'm going to perform, as you can hear in my voice. I'm going to perform even if I feel like Shangad, okay? Even if I'm sick and I can't even talk and I'm here and I'm trying to deliver to you guys. But if I don't have the right products and the right equipment to actually bring a solid product to you guys, it's very hard to distribute. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm trying to figure something out as far as the video editing and the computer goes. I have my camera, which is very solid, but that's not the issue. The issue is transferring it onto the computers, and the computer's not functioning. So, and I don't have enough space on my phone to do that. And I don't have a program on the phone that really can edit like the computer does. So I'm stuck right now, and that's why I have audio for you guys. So if there is no video or not many videos for the time being, and maybe only IGTV and Instagram only videos via my iPhone, okay, you will at least get some audio gold, some audio platinum right here, okay, exclusively all over every single media audio platform that you have out there, whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, it does not matter. Everything that you listen to your podcast on, Apple Podcast, okay, doesn't matter, Anchor, anywhere out there, I am on it, okay, over nine platforms you can find Take It Home TV. And just look it up, guys. And I'm going to be delivering for you guys every week. So stay tuned. There's going to be more to come. I'm Jimmy J. I'm signing out right here. This has been the recap. This is episode 13. Whether it's lucky or unlucky, does not matter to me, guys, because we're going to keep the ball moving. This is Survivor Series exclusive Taking Home TV episode. Stay tuned. More to come. And I appreciate and love all you guys. We are out.